Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. As we get started, friends, as usual, you guys already know, we're going to go ahead and do some quick announcements as we get ready for church this afternoon. First of all, I just want to thank God for all of you who came back. If you haven't already greeted our good friend, Brother Nick, all the way from Montana, and also Mama Sharon, his mother. Brother Nick is an old school friend of ours, an old school member, amen. Brother Colmaine met him at the pier downtown when we used to do some outreach, and Brother Manny back in the day, and we've been a friend to him. He's been a friend to us. He helps us soul win back in the day, and so he's visiting, and so I appreciate you guys loving on him and then letting him feel welcome here at church, amen. So we're his family from a distance, and I told his mama we're his Mexicano family, amen. So she knows that, all right? So quick announcements before we get started. First of all, I just want to thank God for those of you who volunteered with our church cleanup yesterday. As you guys can see, guys, it looks amazing. That carpet looks great. The pews look great. We shampooed everything. We cleaned everything. We dusted. We wiped. We did some minor decor things, if you will. The ladies did a great job helping me cover the wires. Brother Felipe, I just want to acknowledge him today. He is the man. Amen. He was the one who made sure you guys' pews were clean. The carpet's clean. Little Gibby holding it down yesterday. He said, what did you say, man, about your knees? Felt like they were bleeding. Oh, man, that guy, he was putting in work. Amen. And then we had some overtime with Eileen and Gibby. We had a great fellowship. So, guys, some house cleaning, if you will, rules. We're going to start this starting today. So, in love, please, if you guys eat food, would you mind just eating it right outside? We have a bench there. There's a table. We're going to start placing the trash can outside. So that way we can just make sure we can keep the church house clean. And then for future fellowships, when we're going to have like a lot of food and festivities, we're just going to go to the fellowship hall where the kitchen is from now on, so we can just enjoy that, because obviously we want to do our best to keep it clean. And you guys can drink your water in here. Y'all can drink your coffee. Just make sure you have a lid. We sure appreciate that. Be careful, obviously. Obviously, us as adults, young adults, you guys can make sure, try not to spill, and we appreciate that. Amen. So we want to let Felipe know he did a good job. Let's not make the brother work. Amen. Two times, three times. All right. So real quick, announcements. Praise the Lord. This Thursday will be our every other Thursday soul winning outreach. If you guys look at the calendar, we will be going out this Thursday, Lord willing, downtown at the pier. So you guys can want to meet here at the church at around 5 o'clock. We're going to pray, get our scripture signs, get our flyers, go downtown and do some evangelism. Friday night discipleship class. Don't forget, next Saturday, the 6th, is a special Saturday. We're going to have Brother Angel visiting from Imperial Beach. He's going to come with a brother. We're going to go door to door, show him how we do it. And then we're going to go straight downtown to the pier. And then we'll be done by around 2 o'clock, wrap it up 2:30. And then we're going to have some lunch fellowship with Brother Angel afterwards. So it'll be good to see more of our church members participate in evangelism outreach. Sure to appreciate that. And then upcoming announcements, my wife was just going to share quickly with the women of a special invitation. I'm not sure if she's available to come up, or do you want me to do it for you? Okay, so special invitation for the women. That's going to be for Sister Kina, Sister Eileen, Sister Jasmine, and I know Mama Sharon's going to go back, or Miss Dina as well, on a Friday. I believe it's going to be May the 19th, if I'm not mistaken. It might be the 19th or the 26th. There you go. On the 19th, May the 19th, the women are invited to go with our friends in Corona, Grace Baptist Church, Brother Shannon Scott. Again, like I told you, church, good brother, like-minded spirit, charity, good place for their women's get-together. There is a fee, but we're going to cover it for you women. If you want to go with my wife, it sure be a blessing. So that Friday night discipleship class for the men, we can have a bro-ship here. We can have some meat, some steak, potatoes, and just have a good time, amen. And so we'll do something fun with the men while the women go out there, amen. And by then, Brother Carlos will have his smoker barbecue. You know what I'm saying? Everybody out there. So women, please, Eileen, pray about it. Kina, pray about it. Jasmine, pray about it. Talk to Katie. Let her know if you're willing to go. It'll be a good fellowship for you women. It's about a 45 minutes drive up north, and then you guys will come back down and just build good friendships with a church who wants to be a friend to your pastor. That sure be a blessing if you guys can do that. Study blogs, you guys already know. These are great articles to help you in your faith. I've done those things for you. If you need prayer, please don't forget to submit a prayer request there, or just call me. Call Sister Katie. Say, we need prayer. Can you pray with us? We want to be a family that prays together. And then last but not least, church, if you're a member of this church, I hope you are, please remain faithful in whatever you financially purpose within your heart to give as unto the Lord. We appreciate any giving that you give to this church. It's for our ministry, this local church need, if you will. And we sure to appreciate that. We have a box back there. You can give online, PayPal, Venmo, or good old-fashioned cash, amen. And just know that God promised to meet your need when you give. And even if you give sacrificially, the Bible does talk about a sweet savor. And early Christianity, that's how the New Testament church was giving. They were giving for the poorer Christians when they were going through a dearth or like a famine, if you will. And so remember, guys, we don't pass the hat. We don't preach tithing. We're just telling you, whatever you say, God, I thank you for, fill in the blank. I'm going to give this back to you out of the goodness of my heart for your faithfulness. Give it. He loves a cheerful giver. Just remember that. And the more you give bountifully, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, you're going to reap bountifully. You sow sparingly, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, you're going to reap sparingly. So when God looks to your account and he judges you for need, and then you're looking at it, he's going to look to that account. How much have you sown to that? I'm just letting you know, he's going to take care of you accordingly, all right? Okay, with that said, church, would you do me a favor? Let's go ahead and turn together now in our Bibles. We are back in the Bible train to the book of Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians, the 5th chapter, if you can do me a favor and join me now. We're going to continue here together in our verse-by-verse study through the Word of God, Galatians, the 5th chapter. Sure, appreciate if y'all can open up your Bible there. And let's go ahead and pick up now, my friends, where we left off from our studies ago. And then my wife will take our youth, our little youth. I don't know. I don't see little man. Little man's not here today, so it's all right. We got a little Cheyenne. Amen. All right, friends. So with that said, Galatians chapter 5, would you do me a favor? Let's go ahead and open up in our Bibles together now, and let's continue to read together and study together as a family. We're going to pick up now, verse number 1. Hope you have a Bible open, and let's go ahead and read there together. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1. Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under law. Now, verse number 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Would you do me a favor, church? Once again, let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Abba, Father, I thank you so much to see those that were able to make it to church today. I truly am thankful to see my friend, Brother Nick, visit with us once again. Mama Sharon, I pray that you bless him this morning, this afternoon. Lord, I thank you for every other soul that came back to church today. I thank you that our church is beginning to grow and beginning to make this church more of their home. Lord, I'm so thankful for our church cleanup yesterday, God, to see the love of Felipe and Gibby and all those that poured in and invested, God, that were making it their home. And Lord, I'm just thankful to see the Spirit of God stirring up their hearts to invest more into their church family. Lord, it's good to know that this is not a one-man operation. This is a family effort. I thank you, God. Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us once again. We are here gathered to learn more from the mouth of Christ. We are here to listen to your voice, Abba, Father. We need to be more like your son, Jesus. We need to be less of us. We need more light from the Word of God, less darkness from us and the world. We invite the Holy Spirit now to teach us. Help us have ears to hear and eyes to see what we need to hear from the Word of God. And Lord, wherever I have a human error in my presentation, I pray your Holy Ghost to take the Holy Bible and deliver to their spirit how they need to hear it, God. So tonight, I pray that you would please meet with us. If any member did not come here for the sake of Christ, may you begin to work in their heart even now, to convict them and to redirect their mind and their attention for Jesus, not the flesh, no one else here, not to just check a box, but we came here to encounter you, to fellowship with you, and so we can grow in our relationship with you, God, to learn how to please you that much more in our life. So we need your help. Teach us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My friends, today's message title is Waiting on the Spirit, Not the Flesh. Waiting on the Spirit, not the flesh. And what do I mean by that? That is getting ready and giving attention to what truly provides for us freedom and ready to invest more into that source versus the flesh to help us to keep living in freedom, biblical liberty, as we've been learning what the scriptures teach us this afternoon. So would you do me a favor now, once again, let's turn back to verse number 13. We talked about this, but we're going to refresh your memory again. The Bible says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." This past Wednesday, for those of you who came to church, I preached a message titled, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And I taught you guys from the Bible of this more in depth. And if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, I encourage you to go back on our YouTube or Facebook and listen to that message, because it would really couple this particular doctrine of what Christ's liberty provides sinners. It provides sinners the ability to love one another as Christ loves you, the individual. We learned from last Wednesday that there's no amount of sin or fault that is not forgivable. It's up to you. Christ provided for you the power of God to forgive someone who has offended you, to forgive someone who has sinned against you. We learned with Brother Felipe and Sister Mirabel in our Thursday fellowship, Proverbs 10:12, that love covereth a multitude of sins. It's up to you if you want to forgive, if you want to forbear. But that's what biblical liberty provides for you today, Christian. It provides for you the opportunity to love, and it operates by faith. And so when I titled today's message, Waiting on the Spirit, Not the Flesh, investing and letting the Spirit of God invest into you, not continuing to build your Christian faith based off your feelings, but by the Word of God. Because the Bible says that faith is produced by the hearing of the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So your faith is not going to be produced if you're entertaining more of your feelings than the Word of God, your past than the Word of God. Because right now, Jesus is real. He has a real relationship with every single one of you individually. But if you're not listening to him, then you're not going to continue to let him teach you how to stay in liberty. And so today, friend, I want you to have confidence, not in your flesh, not in your past, but in your real Savior right now who's alive and that power. Standing fast in liberty, back to verse number 1 quickly to remind you, that's our responsibility. But now look at verse number 1. It says, wherewith Christ hath made us free. That's his responsibility. That's the operation that God performed on you when you got saved, when he created a new heart in your body. The Bible talks about being a new creature in Christ. That's his responsibility. That's his operation. But now mutually, in response to what he gave us, we all have an individual responsibility of how we respond to the power that he gave us. So notice once again, you stand fast in the liberty. That's your responsibility. Christ, he did his part. He made you free from the power of sin, the power of the devil. We learned that at Sunday school. Now it's up to you not to entangle yourself again with the yoke of bondage. Now we already talked about that in context, Old Testament Judaism, Old Testament law keeping that has nothing to do with the New Testament. We talked, me and Brother Nick, months ago about the Sabbath and things like that. Has nothing to do with us as Christians. That's Old Testament for one people group, not the Christian church. So an application I just gave you last Sunday, don't entangle yourself with your past again. Don't entertain yourself with sins again, with things that you entertain once in your life. You have freedom. You need to stay within that freedom. Colossians chapter number 2. Let's go ahead and start on our Bible train now. Colossians chapter 2. You go ahead and turn your Bible there with me. We're going to start going through this Bible train together, friends. I just want to go through a couple of verses with you to remind you of our responsibility and then his responsibility. That is what God did, what God wants to do. That's going to be his part when you do what God wants you to do, which is your part. We're going to talk about that this afternoon. Colossians 2, you heard me talk about this before, the operation. There was a supernatural operation that took place when you got saved. If you will, let's say it's like a surgery, if you will. And when you and I got saved, God did something. He gave you something that wasn't there before. He gave you a new heart. He created within you a new creature. And then it's from that power that he's delivered you, that's what you can use to continue to walk in freedom. Today, God has performed a supernatural operation in the hearts of all those who believe and trust in his son's gospel. I already taught you this, but let's rehearse this one more time. Colossians 2, verse 11. The Bible says, in whom, talking about Jesus, also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now notice here, the circumcision is not a reference to us in the sense of something that he did within our own power or our own merit. This is Christ's circumcision. What happened to Christ? Apparently we were put into that. And so now let's let the Bible define it. Buried with him in baptism. I already showed you that. That's not water baptism. Obviously, none of us are traveling in a time machine 2,000 years ago, water baptized, and then coming back. No, no. This is a spiritual baptism. That's the circumcision of Christ. This is a spiritual operation, verse number 12, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith, now listen, of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And so in this operation that God did, he took your soul, he baptizes you into the death of his son, Jesus. That's the circumcision. He raises you up to newness of life. That's the byproduct of that spiritual circumcision. You are dead to the old man and you are alive in the new man. There's a new creature in that body. There's a new heart in Giovanni, new heart in Nick, a new heart in those of you who are saved. That's the liberty that you and I have. So because we've been given this power, it's up to you to walk in that. That operation was performed by God through faith. Our faith in his son and his son immediately reconciling our soul to the Father. This operation was performed in us whereby the Holy Ghost could dwell in us. That means to live. And this is now our standing in our position of complete righteousness, like God's righteousness, which was solely given to us through the faith of his son after we believed the gospel. Now, I'm going to show you these verses. You don't have to go there just for the sake of time. I'm just going to quickly show you how the Holy Spirit has been sent to live inside of our body. First one is Acts 15, verse 8. I'll show you these quickly. Acts chapter 15, verse number 8. Just look up to the screen, friend. Bible says here, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. You and I have the Holy Ghost inside of us. When God saved us, you were born again. That's the operation. There was a complete supernatural surgery that took place. He took the old man, buried it with Christ in his baptism and death, and then he gave you a new man. That's the new creature. You are a new person in Christ. And in that new standing, that new heart, the Holy Ghost dwells in, and that's where he's going to keep you preserved, if you will, in that particular position. Okay, second reference, Romans chapter 5. I'm just sharing with you verses that the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit lives in you right now. He was sent to live inside your heart. Romans 5, verse 5, Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So notice what I said earlier about forgiving and loving people. You can do that because the Holy Ghost lives inside of your heart. You can choose to let God help you and teach you on how to love people and forgive people because the Holy Ghost lives inside of your heart. But when you resist him and you ignore him, you are entertaining the old man, the dead part of you, versus the new man, the new part of you. And no wonder why you can't forgive or love people in their position and state. And according to the Bible, why wouldn't we let God help us? That's a powerful gift we've been given, the Holy Ghost. Okay, the third verse, 2 Corinthians 1:22. I'm just going to go through this quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 22. I'm just showing you now from the Bible how you have the Holy Spirit right now. You don't have to wait for a secondary operation, which some of the brethren ignorantly teach, talking about Holy Ghost baptism and things of this nature. Once you and I trusted on Jesus Christ, we believed on Christ for the salvation of our soul, we were placed in him. That's what Romans 6 and Colossians 3, that's what we're talking about. We were buried with him in baptism and then raised again to newness of life. That is the spiritual operation, Holy Spirit does that within us immediately. Sorry, guys. I'm just trying to get my Bible software to operate. It is not going. Can I get a volunteer quickly to read for me 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse 22? I'm sorry. My software just went haywire. Sure. Thank you. There you have it. So that earnest, what is that? That's like the down payment. That is like a token of what I said I'm going to do for you. And until I get this from you or give you the whole payment, this is what I may give to you in the meantime. This is my earnest. This is my word. And so what did God promise you? The gift of eternal life to come so you can experience it in all senses of your existence, not just, if you will, in this particular dimension we live in, which we're limited because we're in the body. But one day to fully enter into heaven and glory and all that good stuff the Bible predicts and prophesies about, he gave you the Holy Spirit as his word of bond. I give you my Holy Spirit so you can know that I will take you to heaven. I will give you eternal life, not just in then to come. You have it right now, but you'll be able to fully physically enjoy it. But until then, here's what I'm going to give you, my Spirit. And where is he? In our hearts. There you have it. And then last one, Galatians chapter 4. I'm just showing you guys these verses quickly. Galatians 4. That the Spirit of God is in you. The Bible says in verse number 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's why when I read the Bible, my life changes, my mind changes, my prayer life changes. You know how I talk to God? I call him Daddy. I call him Abba. That's what that word means. It's a connected, sincere, loving relationship between a father and a son. Just like for those of you that are parents, your children, when they're young, they call you papi, they call you daddy, they call you papa, whatever that might mean in your colloquial. They're just calling upon you with an emotional admiration. They love you. And so there's that bonding. There's that sincere title that they recognize. Christian, can I tell you something today? You have a loving father in heaven. Don't be ashamed to call him daddy. I don't know about you, friend. I don't care about the daddy that I had on the earth, whether he was there for me or not. I have a better daddy. He's in heaven. He's always there for me. Anybody out there, I can call him Abba. And so now my prayer life, it changes. You know how I pray? I say, Abba, Father, I thank you for your love for me. Abba, Father, I thank you so much for Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, friend, when you begin to realign your mind with that, you're going to have a lot more peace throughout your life. You can read next time on your own, 1 Peter 1:22, talking about the Spirit, purifying your soul, and so on and so forth. So, the Holy Spirit of God has been sent forth to dwell in our hearts. That is to say, literally, live inside of us and to keep us and to preserve us unto the day of the redemption of our bodies. You know, the rapture, you heard about that. When Christ fully redeems what he has purchased with his blood, that our entire being. Let's carefully observe now these verses, identifying the facts of our human responsibility and God's, in order that we might learn how to live according to God's will, a biblical Christian life, not based off our feelings, culture, church traditions, but simply the Word of God. Turn your Bible with me now to Romans 12:2. We're going to do this together, observing the Scriptures, so we can just ask ourselves, is this something that I got to do? Or is this something that, you know, God's power can only do? And we're going to go through this together now. Romans chapter 12. Let's read now our first verse. Romans 12, starting together with me now, my friend, in verse number 1 through 2. Bible says here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Anybody? Human responsibility or God's? Your responsibility. Thank you. Holy. Whose responsibility is that? Yours. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So I'm thankful when the members come to church. That's a reasonable service. I'm thankful when you participate in evangelism. That's reasonable service. I'm thankful when you willingly volunteer of your free will time, like yesterday, Brother Felipe. He did provide the cleaning chemicals, amen, and the vacuums, amen. And Sister Maribel and all of us. That's you're presenting your body to say, God, I got free will, and rather than choosing to entertain it over here, laying on my bed or sleeping or whatever, I'm going to say, God, this body belongs to you. I'm going to present it to you as sacrifice. Here you go, God, use it. Responsibility. Now verse 2, be not conformed to this world. Is that yours or God's? That's your responsibility. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Who renews your mind? That's God. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who's that? That's you. So what do you do? Real quick, I give my body to God. I let God instruct me and teach me how to live with this body. I'll give you quick applications, how to dress, how to take care of it. Obviously, not to put substances in this thing to affect it, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm going to take this body, present it back to him. That's my responsibility. When I do that, you know what God's going to do? He's going to renew my mind. He's going to help me to supernaturally understand if I'm in the will of God or not. He's going to be able to tell Felipe and Maribel, if you do this, daughter and son, you're doing right. If you're not, then no wonder why you don't know, because you're not doing the first part, which is just give me your body. Just let me have your heart. Let me have your mind. Anybody here? Second verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just to the right. You guys know Brother Carlos makes it easy for you, left to right. We're just observing the text to see how it lays it out before us. Where is my responsibility, and then where's God's? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, read with me, friend, in verse number 16. The Bible says here, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Who does that? The renewing on the inside. That's God, Holy Spirit. But you have to what? You have to present your body, Romans 12. So God wants to renew my mind. He wants to take old man Carlos' habits, and he wants to cleanse them from Carlos. But if I don't give him my body, if I don't give him my heart, if I don't give him my mind, he ain't going to do that. God is not going to force himself on the inside, and he's not going to cleanse me by force, power on the inside, nor on the outside. It's up to you. You have to willingly come to him. You have to willingly bow to him in your heart and say, "Lord Jesus, deliver me. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better son to my parents, daughter to my parents. I don't want to curse no more. I don't want to be lazy no more." And God has all this power that you read about to help you and to do all this. But you got to present your body. Now, the renewing of the spirit, there's two things to that. One, that's the responsibility you have to give in the body, all that, for your mind and all that. But number two, you know who preserves your salvation? God. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says, he's keeping you in that cleansed state every single day. That's why you can't lose your salvation. Because this operation of God, Colossians chapter number 2, with the Holy Spirit's presence sealing you, all the verses we just read, he maintains your cleanliness. He maintains your righteousness every single day. I want you to imagine with me, it's like you're refreshing your browser on your computer, you refresh your phone. It's kind of like a quick refresh. Everything is kind of back to its natural state, if you will. You know that God is refreshing you every single day. He's keeping your soul preserved and cleaning it and cleaning it. And he's continuously keeping that thing going. That's another thing to be thankful for. Ephesians 4, next verse. Ephesians 4, our responsibility, God's. What we have to do and what God has already done, and hopefully in response to what he's done for us to willingly do. Ephesians 4. Verse number 22, 23. The Bible says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Who has to do that? We have to do that. God ain't going to do that for you. You have to do that. You know what God did for you? He saved your soul, gave you power from darkness to light, gave you power from Satan, saved you, sanctified you. He did all that. And in return, you have to do that with what he gave you. You have to put away from you lying. You have to put away from you stealing. You have to put away from you those things, those friends, those habits. The Bible says, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Who has to do that? You. Romans 12, give him your body. Within your body, you have a heart and you have a mind. When you willingly give that to Daddy in heaven, the Holy Ghost is going to talk to the Godhead. And here's little son down here, Diego. Here's little son down here, Felipe. Here's little daughter down here, Dina. Little daughter down here, Sharon. Little daughter down here, Kina and Eileen. And when the Holy Ghost is talking to God the Father on your behalf because he sees you willingly coming to him, hey, Father, they need some help with this. They're coming to me willingly. They're letting me do it. Can we help them with this thing? Let's do it. Before you know it, there's a different habit there. You no longer want to do that. Before you know it, you're no longer going to curse. You're no longer going to do those drugs. You're no longer want to. Why? Because you're letting God do what he wants to do with your life when you willingly submit of your will to him after the power that he gave you. He can do that. It's up to you. Galatians 5, you have to stand fast in the liberty. Two more places. Colossians chapter 3, and then we'll go to Titus chapter number 3. Colossians 3 and then Titus 3. We're just identifying now what we have to do versus what God has already done. Colossians 3, verse number 10. Very similar, very similar. Or let's start verse number 9. The Bible says, lie not one to another. Who has to do that? Me. Obviously not God. God doesn't lie. I have to not lie. I have to choose not to lie. God ain't going to force me. I have to willingly choose not to. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. God operation, chapter 2. Remember, he told us that. I like how the Holy Spirit talks to us like it's true. In other words, you die to the old man. Don't you know what God did with you when you got saved? So live after what God did with you when you got saved. Live the new man life. Don't live the old man life. Don't you know that you're dead? Don't you know that you're no longer a liar in the eyes of God? You're no longer a hypocrite before the eyes of God the Father. Do you know that this is your old man, you're dead, Christ in you, you're alive? So don't lie like you are not seen before the eyes of the Father. Look at verse 10. And it put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Who does that? That's God. God renews your heart, that new creature, after the image of his son, when you willingly, continuously submit to him daily. And then last one, Titus 3. Who does this? Titus 3. Read with me now, friend, in verse number 5. The scripture says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Who does that? God. God is the one who caused you to be born again. God is the one who saved your soul when you just said, Lord, save me. God is the one who regenerated you. That's God's the one who sends the Holy Ghost. God, by his mercy, is the one, while no one else loved you on this earth, and you were a wicked sinner on your way to hellfire because you broke his laws, God's the one who saved you. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is. And when you appealed to him, he had compassion on you, the sinner, and he saved you. But notice again, renewing of the Holy Ghost. So remember what I said earlier? Not only will he do there's two parts of that. Not only will he renew my heart, teach Carlos how not to steal no more, how not to do drugs no more, how not to fornicate, how not to drink, and all those things, and then fill in the blank for you today, how not for you to do those things. Not only will he renew you, but the Holy Spirit of God, he keeps you refreshed every single day concerning the position of your salvation before the Father. He keeps you clean before the eyes of the Father. He, if you will, he refreshes that before God every single day. You might not feel it, you might not see it, but the Holy Spirit right now is working in the background, keeping you clean. He's keeping you washed. Anybody out there thankful for the Holy Spirit? All right, let's go back to our base text now, Galatians chapter 5. So, what's that liberty? Christ. What provided for that? What provided you that liberty? The gospel, when you got saved. Who empowers you to fulfill what the gospel offered you? The Holy Spirit. And what do you have to do? You have to willingly stand, submit to what he gave you. Verse 4, Galatians 5. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So once again, as I taught you last Sunday, this is not a reference to falling from the standing position of your justification for your soul, that is being saved, but from the effectual working power of Christ in you. In other words, when Christians are deceived by false doctrine through false teachers attempting to bring the yoke of the bondage of the law back onto Christians, whereby they attempt to live a life free from the power of sin in their life, it's Christ's resurrection power will no longer have an effect in them when they're trying to do it by some other means of power, which is the law. Galatians 5 is warning us about that. Jesus Christ's resurrection power will be hindered from operating in their lives in the area of resisting sin and the power of the devil when it's not done by the Holy Spirit, but by the law of Moses. Imagine with me for a second, there's a heavy weight in front of you. Brother Felipe can testify, sometimes there are heavy packages he needs to deliver. Well, imagine with me for a second, there are a package delivered to your house. and you continue to try your best to move them by yourself, but you can't because they're too heavy for your strength. And along comes your neighbor who is stronger than you that can actually help you move that heavy box for you. However, instead of you letting him help you move those boxes, you choose to rather have him watch you struggle trying to do it on your own strength versus his strength because you're deceiving yourself into thinking that you can do it without his help. That is my analogy for you to help you to understand this passage. Here we have the Holy Spirit warning Christians that Christ has become of no effect unto you. It's a sad reality that Christ might be standing right before you. Now listen to me. He might be standing right in front of you. And instead of you letting him help you carry those weights, instead of letting him help you move those boxes for you, instead of letting him help you on the inside where another man can get into, you resist him. You restrain him. You say, I don't want you to help me. I'm trying to do it on my own strength. That's what it means when you and I don't let the Christ power affect us. We fall from grace in the sense of the power that grace provides us. That's what happens when Christians try to live a victorious life over sin by the law and then commands over here or traditions over here that they want to add to the gospel. It's sad, but true. Can you believe that Christians can resist God's help? I don't believe that's anyone here, amen. Sounds impossible, but it's sad, and it's true. And that's called pride. Our pride will hinder us from receiving help, not just from God, but even from people around us within our life. When they're trying and attempting to help you, their presence in your life will become of no effect because you refuse to let them help you. In other words, I have a friend that can help me right here, but I'm not letting my friend help me. He is of no effect to me. I'm not letting him have an effect in my life. Christ is in you. But when you're not letting Christ's power work for you, there's no effect through you. That's what that means. Let me talk to you a little bit about pride before we keep going. Just look up to the screen. Psalm chapter 10. Let me warn you now about pride. We're all capable of doing it. Brother Moat right here. You already know. Brother Carlos. Psalm 10 verse 4. The Bible says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You know, when we entertain pride, it's a wicked thought. You know what pride will hinder you from doing? Seeking God. Oh, I don't want to pray right now. That's wicked. Oh, I don't want to read my Bible right now. I'm mad. That's a wicked thing. That's pride. It's a poison. It's operating in you. Why? Because that's the old man in you. He's dead, but he's kind of, in a weird way, he's still in there lingering, kind of trying to get you back to the grave. So when that thought comes and you get angry or sad, I don't want to read my Bible. Don't talk to me about God. It's pride. Psalm 73. Psalm 73, verse number 6. Bible says here, therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence cover them as a garment. Isn't that a unique picture? Galatians told us that the law is a yoke of bondage. You know what pride is? It's a yoke of bondage. When you let pride get a hold of you again, because you ignore God, you resist him, you're letting that chain come right back over your neck, pulling you away from the one who can keep you walking in freedom. Don't entertain pride. It's just going to keep you in bondage. Proverbs chapter 8. We're just going to go through this quickly. Talking about pride. Proverbs chapter 8. Look with me now, friend, in verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So you know what God taught you? Here's what I hate. I want you to hate the same thing. That's right. God hates things. And what are those virtues that he hates? He hates pride. He hates arrogancy. He hates frowardness. And I taught you that weeks ago, frowardness versus righteousness. You know what froward is? It's when you're being rebellious, unyielding, being stubborn like an oxen or a donkey, not letting God correct you and teach you. That's when we're living frowardly. God hates that. So the next time you entertain pride, just remember, man, the Lord hates that. Let me get a hold of that. Let me give it to Jesus. Next verse, again, quickly, Proverbs 11, verse number 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. When you entertain pride, you give into it, it's only going to mess you up. Is there a way out? Yeah, but you got to be humble. That means you got to say, I'm wrong. You're right. Thank you for pointing out that error in my life, God. Thank you for pointing that error in my life, Brother Carlos, or whoever's trying to love on you. I need to be humble. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. People in your life that are always strifing, contending with you, arguing, for some reason just entertaining every single emotional virtue, it's because pride, it's lingering there. It's a poison. That's what it is. So now that you know, if you're being spiritual, don't let it rub you too much the wrong way, because you know now. You know better. Be graceful. Try to help them by your conduct. All right, two more quickly. Proverbs chapter 16, I'm just going to show you quickly these verses on pride. Verse number 18, Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and then haughty spirit before a fall. So you know how you got there, brother and sister, when you messed up? It's because weeks ago or months ago, years ago, you were resisting being corrected by God. And eventually you fell because you were resisting God over here. So how can you avoid falling again over here? Letting God teach you and correct you right over here. Saying, God, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. This thing is wrong in my life. I need to get a hold of it. I'm going to submit it to you. Lord Jesus, help me, deliver me before I fall. You don't have to fall. It's not a guarantee for you to fall. 2 Peter 1 is very clear. You can restrain yourself from falling, but it starts with being humble. One more. Chapter 29, Proverbs 29. Look with me in verse number 23. Watch this. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So are you an honorable brother or sister today? It's going to be demonstrated by your humility. Are you a proud brother or sister today? It's going to be evident by your haughtiness. If you want to be honored by God, got to be humble. Got to be humble. So back to our basics, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. You should have that in your Bible. Hope you have it open and just leave a flyer there. The Bible says, for we, verse number 5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We through the Spirit. Christian, if the Holy Spirit with the Holy Bible is not your source of power in helping you to become a better Christian, you are fallen from grace. When you and I depend more upon our strength, perhaps our families, our friends, our culture, whatever that might mean, the counsel of this world, you know, Google, YouTube, and whatever that one guy thinks or girl, anything but the counsel of God to help you to resist your personal sin and struggles, Christ's resurrection power that he provided for you is going to be hindered. That's what it means to grieve the Spirit in Ephesians 4:30. When we ignore him, when we say, God, I know you're right here, but I'm going to keep trying it my way. And you know what's crazy about God? After you mess up, he's still going to stand right there, ready to love you and teach you how to do it better. That's how good God is. That's what makes me want to change, is that even though God suffers long with me, he's long-suffering, that means he's patient, he sees me trying to overcome sin on my own strength, and I fail every time. What does the Bible say? Like a dog returning to its vomit. And yet he's right there. He doesn't leave. And then as soon as I'm ready on my knees to say, God, I'm so sorry. I tried again to get over this. Would you please help me? He extends his hand to me and says, come on, son, I got you. Let's keep walking. As if that thing never occurred in his eyes. That's how good God is. But if you're ignoring him, you're falling from that grace. Don't grieve God's Spirit. Let him help you. Let him teach you. Don't refuse listening to his voice daily. Consider his thoughts about your current way of living and see if it's right or wrong. Turn your Bible now with me to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We're going to let the Bible instruct us on the type of people who ignore him. I'm going to show you now from the Bible of what happens when people refuse to listen to the counsel of God. Refuse to read the Word of God. Refuse to hear his instruction. And then what the outcome is. And let's see if that's any one of us here today. I hope it's not. Psalm 107. Read with me, friends, starting in verse number 4. Here we have the psalmist just giving a general synopsis of the history of the nation of Israel. Just kind of a little overall of like what God has done with them and how he's dealt with them, okay? Look at verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Christian, that was you before you got saved. You thought fornicating was going to bring you satisfaction. You thought alcohol, drugs, and gangs, and you thought that was going to bring you satisfaction. You know what you were doing? You were wandering. You're wandering in the wilderness of sin, thinking that if you just live over here for a minute, you'll be all right, but you weren't. And then you moved to the next city, and then filling that sin, and then you weren't. You understand what I'm saying? You know what you were? You were hungry and thirsty. Verse number 5, your soul fainted. Anybody out there remember back in the day? Then, are you ready for this now? Listen, verse 6. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Aren't you glad about God's goodness? Aren't you thankful for God's compassion? That when you were trying to move from city to city back in those days, trying to find rest for your soul, thinking that this would do it for you, or that would do it for you, or she would do it for me, or he would do it for me, you finally came to the end of yourself. You said, Lord God, would you save me out of this? I'm tired of this. God saved you. Bible says in verse 7, this is good preaching, by the way. I'm just going to keep it for another message. Maybe Philippe one day. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. So what does God do for you? He saves you. He calls you his son and daughter. He begins to take you by the hand like a child and teach you, son, this is how you live now. Daughter, this is how you live. Son, this is how I want you to protect and take care of your body. Daughter, this is what I want you to do with your body. I'm going to lead you in the right way now, son. You see that city over there, son? That's where we're going to live over there. Not over here anymore. Not in this wilderness. But you gotta let him. Galatians 5. All right, now verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his what? Goodness. Whew. If you don't have anything to be thankful for, it's God's goodness. And for his wonderful works of the children of men. Why? For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That's himself, his presence. And then what did Romans 5 tell you earlier? What did I read? The Holy Spirit sent in your hearts, pouring out that love of God upon your heart. I'm telling you, when you listen to your father's counsel, you let Abba Daddy teach you how to be like his son, he will not be dissatisfied. You will be satisfied with what? His goodness. But what about those people that refuse? Are you ready now? Look at verse 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Why? Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. They don't have to sit in darkness. Sunday school, anybody? They can get up and be free. They don't have to sit over here in the shadow of death. They can walk with the light of life. We learned that in Sunday school. They don't have to have a chain around their neck. They don't have to have bondage around their neck, Galatians 5. But they got there. How? Because they refused. They rebelled against the words of God. That's why I warn you, sister and brother, about pride. Because the more that you argue with God's counsel of why you should do a thing he commanded you, before you know it, that seat of darkness that he took you from, you're going to go back and sit down for a little bit. All by yourself. He doesn't want you to sit there. Wants you to stand up and walk in freedom. But that's your choice. Christian, don't rebel against his words. Also, don't rebel against the words of your friend with the counsel of his words. 3 verses. Just look up to the screen for the sake of time. Proverbs chapter 1. This is one of my favorite verses or chapters about wisdom and God. But I'll read for you these verses quickly. Proverbs 1 verse 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Is that you today, friend? Do you ignore reading the Bible daily? Did you ignore praying, talking to God, and letting God talk to you? Look at verse 30. They would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Do you despise the word of God and the commands he gave you, or are you open to them? Proverbs chapter 8. Look with me now on the screen. Verse number 14. The Bible says, counsel is mind and sound wisdom. Now listen here. I am understanding. I have strength. So go back with me in the analogy. Whoever you were wandering in your cities, of sin and thinking this will satisfy. And here you are on the floor because that's the end result of your sin. It's just shame. You're sitting in darkness over here. Jesus comes through the light of the gospel. A Christian comes over here and talks to you while you're there and saying, friend, if you just trust Jesus, he can do this for you. He can make you free. He can help you with your mind. He can help you with your habits. And then you say, okay, I want that. So what do? You call upon the Lord. He saves you. He picks you up. And he begins to lead you by the way and the right way, Psalm 107. But for some reason, you want to let go of daddy's hand so you can come back over here to entertain the flesh and the old man. And that's what Galatians 5 is warning us about, of not walking after the flesh because it's associated with darkness. And then when the Christians have problems in their life because they come back over here, they don't know what to do with their marriage. They don't know what to do with their bodies. They don't know what to do with this and with their money because they're seeking counsel in all the wrong places. God said he has strength. But if you refuse his counsel, no wonder why you're over here. No wonder why there's problems going on in your life. No wonder why you can't get over this emotional fault over here, this mental thing over there, because you're refusing his counsel to entertain your counsel. It's not going to work. You know what pride is? Remember that? It's going to lead you to destruction. But what's going to help you from falling? Humility. So what does that look like? God, teach me. Lord Jesus, teach me what your Bible says of how I should live with my body, how I should respond with my mind, with my eyes, with my ears. You have strength, I don't. He will keep you walking in liberty. Let's finish up now our notes concerning counsel. Don't live an empty Christian life by ignoring the counsel of the words of your God. Rather, embrace them daily and let them instruct you. Let them teach you. Let them instruct you how to live before God. Let the Holy Spirit comfort you through them. Let him teach you through them and let him convict you by them. A few verses more on counsel. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 15. Just look up to the screen for the sake of time. Bible says here, friend, the way of a fool is right in whose eyes? His own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. I'm very thankful for a good friend of mine the other day asking me for counsel before he makes a hasty choice. He implored my help in a certain situation, and I was there to help meet the need. And I'm very glad because I think it's safe to say that this dear friend of mine, he understands and I understand that we are both foolish in our own eyes. We don't want to be hasty in our spirit. We don't want to say things we're going to regret later when we're in the flesh. So when he says, Brother Carlos, can you help me out with this thing? I'd be more than happy to. We all need to do that. If I'm about to give into a flesh circumstance, if I'm about to give into my flesh because of my emotions, what we need to do is not be right in our eyes, but we need to say, can somebody teach me how to make a godly choice? Can somebody teach me how to live and make a righteous choice with before I entertain my foolish eyes? If you don't do that, you know what God calls you? Foolish. He doesn't want you to be foolish as his sons and daughters. He wants you to be wise. But the only way you're going to allow God to teach you is by receiving his counsel. And there's nothing wrong. There's no shame, brother and sister, saying, can you teach me, Brother Carlos? Can you show me? What do I do with this? And we'll go to the Word of God. And we'll show you. Proverbs 19:20. Let's continue. We're almost done. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 20. The Bible says here, hear counsel. Are you listening? Receive instruction. Are you listening? That thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Listen, I know that some of us were not born into a Christian family. I know that a lot of us eventually became Christians later on in life. I know that a lot of us weren't brought up with a godly father and a godly mother teaching us how to live right before we get married, how to do this with our body, how not to do that. But can I tell you something in love? You have a better daddy now. Your old daddy ain't your daddy no more. Your old mama ain't your mama no more. You have a heavenly father. And he wants to teach you. Don't look to your past. Receive now from your heavenly father what he wants to teach you, what he wants to grow you in, so that way the latter half of your life can be better how you started. But what do you have to do? Hear. What do you have to do? Receive. Proverbs 27. Proverbs chapter 27, I understand when you and I want to keep talking about my daddy did this, my mama did this, I didn't grow up like this. Are you not meditating upon your father right now? What are you doing entertaining the old life? We know that. Let's talk about our Heavenly Father. Let's talk about what Daddy in Heaven can do for me right now rather than what natural man Daddy couldn't do for me. Anybody out there? He's real. He's stronger. Proverbs 29, verse 9. 27, verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Some of y'all ladies, some of y'all men, I know y'all like to spray that stuff. That's all right. Makes you happy. Walmart, that's where I get it because I'm on a brother budget. Amen. But notice here, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Church, every single one of you know the sincerity of my heart. When I speak with you concerning wisdom, advice, counsel, you know that I and my wife, we care about every single one of you individually, sincerely. Why? Because we are your friends. Don't ignore us when we're talking to you about you from this book. Because our intent is to help you to be a better follower of Jesus. Hearty counsel out of a heart of a friend. Anybody there? Last one, back to our base text, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to close. Galatians chapter 5. Verse number 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? It's always a who or a what. What do you allow to come back into your life to say you shouldn't do that no more? Who do you entertain to try to teach you it's all right not to do that no more? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. That's not God. It's not the Holy Spirit. Don't blame nobody but you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I already taught you last Sunday. Just a little corruption in the meal messes up the whole meal. I have confidence in you through the Lord, clearly not the flesh, amen, that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. So whoever that might be in your life, it might be another Christian who's causing you some issues with certain things like that, God will take care of him. You got to let God take care of you. I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Now, this is one of the most powerful statements that the Holy Spirit of God ever put in that Bible concerning people trying to be a hindrance in Christians' life. First century, predominantly Judaism, Jews that were trying to come back into Christian churches to get back Jews to follow Moses again. We already talked about in depth. You know what God said? I wish that people who were trying to mess you up from enjoying my son's love and provision and freedom from the power of sin in your life, I wish they were cut off. They were dead from troubling this life that God has given you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. There it is. It's all about love. It's motivated by love. Again, I highly recommend you listening to midweek's Bible study, Thou Shalt Love Thy Neighbor as Thyself. I don't care what church it is. I don't care if they have the King James Bible or not. If there is no fruit or evidence of love for people, forgiving people, forbearing people, not calling quits on church, not calling quits on their pastor because of some emotional fault or whatever they, because they're spiritual in that moment. Everyone's wrong and they're, you know, everyone else is wrong in their eyes because they're right in that moment. If that's not being produced, that's the flesh. Do you forgive them? Of course. But that's a fault that they had and they have if they still can't get over that. Christ's gospel provided them freedom, but when they entertain the flesh, that's why they quit. That's why they forget. That's why they don't forbear. And that's why they move on. And that's sad. It's been happening for 2,000 years. Don't let happen to you. Verse number 14, we're almost done. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I like how the Holy Spirit is appealing to the Jewish convert back in these days because they grew up with Moses all their life. So what's the summation of the law and having a approved, standing before God? It's not so much circumcision. It's not so much Sabbath keeping. It's not so much feasts. It's love. I already taught you that. You can listen to it. But now, believer, before we close, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You know what God already told you? You will sin against me. I will sin against you. You know what God forewarned us? He already prophesied. At some point, I am going to offend Giovanni, Felipe, Diego, Eileen, Maribel, Dina, Nick, I'm gonna mess up. At some point, you're gonna mess up on me. You're gonna bite me. You're gonna talk behind my back. You're gonna do all these things, and perhaps you might even stop talking to me and stop coming to church altogether. But you know what the Holy Spirit told you? Remember, that liberty, you can choose love. That liberty, you can choose to serve. The flesh, it's going to entertain pride. It's going to say, yeah, you're right. Stop talking to them. They deserve that. Give up. Leave church. Fill in the blank. That's the flesh. That's not Christ. It doesn't matter how much your flesh entertains the justification. Like, they deserve it because that's the flesh. Holy Spirit is calling you to a higher level. Love one another. That's liberty. You're going to bite. You're going to nibble. You're going to backbite and mess up. But God doesn't want us to take that extra step to completely cut each other off. He wants us to take the humble step, which is what? Humility. You know what? It's okay if you did that. It's okay if you talked about me behind my back. It's okay if you weren't committed. It's okay. I choose to love you and forgive you anyways. Why? Because I'm choosing to let Christ keep me in freedom. Now, if you don't want to choose that, that's your problem with you and Jesus, not mine. All I can do is choose to keep loving you. And then we're going to end here. Listen, verse 16. This I say then, now taking into consideration all that we learned. Now listen to the scriptures in that particular context, in that light of what your pastor has shared with you thus far. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You have to do that. You can. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. I just want to leave you with this before we get into all the virtues. Flesh offended, fill in the blank, whoever that might be in your life. It could be your pastor. It could be a leader over here. It could be somebody, your spouse. I don't care. Just for a second, hypothetical. My flesh was offended because fill in the blank. But the new man in you, the new Giovanni, the new Felipe, the new Maribel says, wait a second, I'm a child of God. I've been forgiven of my sins. The blood cleansed me of all my trespasses. I'm going to go to heaven and live forever. I have Holy Ghost power in me. I can forgive. That's not a problem. Flesh says, but you don't know. Mm-mm. It really hurts. Don't you know how much it hurt? Don't you know they were wrong? Don't you remember how they looked at you? Don't you remember the words they said against you? Spirit man, the new man says, yeah, but don't I remember how God looked at me? How I messed up on him? How I failed him? How I messed up on him? The flesh and the spirit, that new man in you, they are always going to be at odds. They're always going to be battling. It's up to you to who you're going to give into in every single one of those moments when they come into your life, because they're coming. Every single time that you're entertained with an option for the flesh, you're going to hate the person. You're not going to serve them. Every time you respond to the spirit, you're going to love the person and you're going to serve them. I think for me, that's the greatest spiritual growth that I've had in 5 years that I can teach anybody for to help them in their Christian walk. It's not necessarily all the history of the Bible, the manuscripts, the King James this and all the... No, it's none of that. The greatest thing that I can teach you is how to love people when they mess up on you. The greatest thing that I can teach you, what I've learned, is how to not give up on people even though they give up on you. Because people have given up on me. A lot of people don't come to this church no more. It's sad. I'm just telling you, they had two choices. They had the flesh and then the spirit. Spirit of God says, love, meekness, forbearance, charity. Their flesh said, no, forget that. They fill in the blank, and that was just a problem between them and God. It wasn't really between them and the person. It's a heart problem. So what can I leave you with this? You've been called into liberty. The Bible says, but don't use your liberty for the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's what's going to make this church notable around the world. It's not how much we know. It's what we do with what we know. It's how we treat each other. It's how we love each other. Keeping unity is what's going to make this church notable. And every other church that I've gone to, here's the number one thing that a lot of brethren tell me is that we were looking for a family environment. That's what you're going to hear all the time. I'm just looking for family. Well, don't you know that brothers and sisters, they get their brothers and sisters upset in the families. Don't you know that? You know that. You have family members. All of you, some of y'all have like 9 people in your family. Some of y'all have like a lot of brothers and sisters. And yet you love them. Why? Because you choose to. But why can't you choose to do that for a Christian? It's pride. That's all it is, flesh. Can you do your best to make it right? You can, but it's going to take you to humble yourself to say, I'm sorry. Could you forgive me? If you can confess, I'm telling you, there's power, healing. James teaches us that. So not to take too much more of your time, I'll leave you with there. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer or close. Abba, Father, I thank you so much for this message, Lord. I know I needed it. I know today, God, that you have given me everything I need to live a life like Jesus, to love like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, to forgive like Jesus. I know that you've given me everything I need from the Bible, the Holy Ghost, and a church family. It's my problem when I choose not to. It's my fault when I ignore no one else's. But I'm so thankful that even when I'm sitting in darkness with a chain around my neck, that when I call upon you to deliver me, God, you are ready to deliver me because you're good to me. God, if there's any Christian here today that might be struggling with pride, might be struggling with offenses, might be struggling with the flesh, I pray that they heard your voice today through this message, that even though they might be sitting in darkness with a chain around their neck, as soon as they're ready to call upon you, you're ready to deliver them because of your goodness. You're ready to teach them like a loving daddy the right way when they listen and hearken to your counsel in the Holy Bible. Today, God, I don't know where a lot of them are at in their walk with you, Lord, but I'm thankful to see them at church. Lord, would you talk to them about them and let them know how they can look more like your son? And when they leave these doors, that's the goal. That's the goal, is looking more like Jesus. Not gaining all this knowledge about this and that to condemn everybody and, no, to condemn ourselves where we come short of looking like Christ, to judge ourselves so we can be more like him when we leave. Father, that's my goal. May you help these, your children, to grow them, to strengthen them in their relationship with you and their love one for another here at this church. And I will thank you for it ahead of time. Please help us to get home safely and help us to enjoy the rest of our day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Church, I love you. May the Lord bless you. Please stick around. We're going to have a birthday cake for our sister Jasmine. So I sure appreciate you guys if you guys can hang out with us for a few minutes.